Get ready for an uplifting experience with Coached Soul. Join us as we bring you the dynamic duo of Steve Hudgens, a licensed professional counselor, and Kenya Evelyn, a transformational leadership coach. Together, they'll guide you through engaging episodes filled with valuable insights and actionable tips on mental health, relationships, self-care, emotional well-being, and personal growth. Coached Soul is your go-to podcast for empowering discussions that will help you thrive. So let's get started and welcome our hosts, Steve and Kenya.
All right. Welcome back to Coached Soul. Kenya, when I put the Parental Alienation Syndrome podcast out on Facebook, I mean, it looked like an atomic explosion
went off. It did.
On comments, shares, likes, kudos about a good video or good podcast. And I think we need to do our audience justice and let's do a part two.
Just 100%.
Because parental alienation, you know, it has a multifaceted, so much information. And what's so disappointing is, as a mental health therapist, those who are looking at the DSM-5, which gives the clinicians diagnoses to be able to bill insurances based upon the diagnoses that we see. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, parental alienation syndrome is not making it there because they feel like it's ever-changing. And it is. But each family experiences alienation and in a lot of different areas. And I know we were talking a while ago that you were looking up some YouTube videos. Kind of share what you were expounding on earlier.
Yeah, it was fascinating. First and foremost, I am so grateful to expand this conversation because I truly was unaware of how much manipulation that was in the world of parenting. Now, like I said, my own experiences, I did grow up without my father, and he walked away. Now I know for mental health reasons, he just didn't know what he was doing. And he, you know, I was three, he left. And I don't remember my dad speaking bad of him at all, but he just never came back. Like, he alienated himself. She didn't block him to come. She didn't ask for money. I mean, we had right to receive, you know, alimony and, you know, money from both parents, me and my sister, but it was never a thing. So what was alive in my soul was other traumas, but the parental alienation is manipulation. Now I understand that is one human manipulate another human out of their own traumas, and who really pays the bills are the kids. And of course, the parent that is alienated. And once I watched our podcast on YouTube, because I have this thing, as soon as you post it, I go there and I like watching it to see what the public is getting. It's a different vibe than recording completely. And then I got bombarded by YouTube, like, hey, if you like this video, you're going to like this video. And I realized I'm talking 200,000 views. 20,000 views, 50,000 views. I mean, there's so much resonance in this topic out there. And my heart started aching. I was like, oh my gosh, people are in pain. We hit a nerve here, Steve.
We did. It's like going to the dentist and how they just hit that nerve and you just jump out of that chair, you know?
What I noticed from the comments and from the people that was there, not just commenting but really pouring their soul, emptiness, rage, misunderstanding, loss, loneliness, anxiety, one step closer to depression. I mean, all kind of mental illness happened because you're not just. Your inner child is not just, oh my gosh, I was abandoned, I was betrayed by my love. Nobody marries someone that they don't love, or at least they think they love.
Right.
So they feel betrayed by their loved one. And now their offspring, they don't have access. And perpetuates the trauma of abandonment. Like, but I want my kids to know that I didn't abandon them, that I love them, that I'm there for them.
So I want to kind of give a contrast here,
yes,
because it's important to try to understand. And the only way I can be able to do it is I'm doing some research on blended families. And there are 34 different typologies of blended families out there. And what started my research for my doctoral degree was the fact that I kept seeing or reading 65% of blended families ended in a divorce rate higher than the original marriage. And wow, that's fascinating to me, because what's causing this division among families? And so when you think about what is happening to the family structure,
there we go.
It's fascinating, because here's where I'm going to go with this. Homes without a father, there is a high increase of promiscuity among teenage girls. There is, among both male and female, high increase of self-harm, drugs, depression, suicide rates. And that's not to say that you know, I'm not trying to elevate one parent above the other, but statistics and research are showing that men are important when they're in the home and parenting effectively with their children. Now,
may I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
What I really hear you saying is the purpose of the masculine, which is, yes, to protect. It's to just the energy of the male. Even if the male is a unhealed male, right? Nobody comes to this world healed. Hey, I'm totally healed. I'm great. I mean, even if the parent, if the father isn't perfect, even if the father, you know, has his own things and his own anxiety, the fact that he has a presence and his shoulders is wider, it's kind of like a joke in my, because I have teenagers, a joke around the house. Jeremy's like, hey, when she brought, whenever your sister brings her boyfriend, I'm going to be here, you know, with my gun, you know. She doesn't even have a gun, like that does, you know. But it's just to say that I'm here to protect. Right. I'm going to scare the bad ones out.
And we're talking about healthy masculinity.
There we go.
You know,
we're not talking about the abusive.
That is,
yes,
the, you know, the substance abuser or things like that that gets into the family that hurts. Okay. So when I think about this research that I'm doing, I actually went to a website that did the statistical research government on prison statistics. Okay. There are more African-American males in the population in prisons than there are any other ethnicity group.
Wow.
And here's what is happening. Okay. Mm-hmm. We try to figure out what has happened within these cultures that increase the male population within prisons. Let's go back to history. This is the reason why it's important not to erase our history, so that we're understanding our history.
So you can refer back and see,
correct,
what's going on. Mm-hmm.
So during the times when the English, the British, came to America, they brought slaves into America. Okay, so it was the Britons that brought them over. And when they brought the slaves over, the very first thing they did was deconstruct the family by removing the father from the already made family, because the fathers were a sign of strength and good labor.
Exactly.
And when you remove the father out from the home, you have transgenerational trauma that goes on and on and on, therefore proving the research that a male out of the home increases the high destructive rate of incarceration, because we don't have positive male role models in homes to help these children, yeah, to grow into productive masculine and feminine adults.
You mean there's no role model?
There is no role model.
There's no role model. Well, I want to go deeper into that, because the one that speaks for you right now have no referral of masculine. Up until I married my husband, I didn't have a grandpa, a father. a uncle, a brother. I had no reference of masculine. I had, you know, friends and my friend's father, but not like somebody speaking into my life, truly.
Right.
Besides a pastor here or there, or somebody that I would, you know, engage into, just in my own neediness and my own emptiness, just pouring, seeking them out. So I didn't learn to trust men. I didn't learn to trust myself. I didn't know what I didn't know. I actually had, we spoke in this podcast before. And when I look back, because I'm sitting in the seat of healer right now, self-healing, me and God, I noticed that my mom also didn't have, and my grandmother also didn't have. At nine, my grandmother had lost her mom and her dad. So if you're talking generational emptiness here, non-referral, my mom was abused by her father. So he was there for an amount of time, but then it was, you know, he just was that he was abusive. So what I hear you saying here is goes so much deeper, because those, for those that see, for those that have eyes to see, this message is for you. I am not saying, Steve is not saying, you have to keep the male in the house, because the male this, the male that. If the male is creating destruction, then he goes, please go self-destruct outside of the house. That's not what we're saying. What you we're know, saying I, is, go ahead.
Well, I want to differentiate between some things here, okay? You have several different capacities of males that come in, okay? Mm-hmm. And majority of the times I hear, well, this man is narcissistic. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, wait a minute. Time out. Dr. Google is not always right. Sorry. But when you have to go into deeper in therapy to understand the male psyche. Sometimes men do have narcissistic tendencies only because they stem from childhood hurt wounds that come across as such. Okay. Those we can work with. Narcissists, they don't have empathy. And it's everybody's fault, but theirs, and there is empathy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So what got me into becoming a therapist was the fact of my own parental alienation syndrome from my own children. I was led to believe from my own childhood hurt wounds that I brought into my marriage that I did not have a healthy female picker, so to speak. I was attracted to somebody who was attracted to me because I needed words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm. Because you need that reflection of love.
Right. Yes. Because growing up, it just felt like it wasn't good enough for me. I love my parents. Okay. They did the best that they could with what they had.
100%.
But I had my own trauma. And this is something that we don't even look at, and probably another podcast we can consider. I'll go down this rabbit trail real quick. That babies who are born with early pregnancy or deformities or anything has trauma in the hospital immediately. Because we're separating mama and putting the baby in an incubator. We're doing a whole bunch of tests and prodding and poking and things like that. The baby does not know why it's in such pain when it's been attached to mama.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a whole new thing of attachment mm-hmm. as well that we could talk about. But parental alienation syndrome can start with two hurt people who don't have a proper understanding of each other, hurts and wounds. So that when the other person is not feeling heard, it causes a chain reaction to the other person of, I'm not feeling heard.
Exactly.
And so, for example, I was labeled as a controller only because I was trying to manage the money, because money was being spent and not being protective of the home. So I had to take away credit cards so that the debt would not get us into debt, so to speak. So when that animosity rose, it created a wedge. And so that trauma there was introduced by transgenerational on her side that led into some friction, and we call it, you know, marital discord evolving into hatred. I took and fought for custody, and we got custody, primary custodianship with joint custody. Okay. Talk about stirring up a hornet's nest. My kids were about, well, 6 and 7s when I got them. By age 14, they left to go live with mom because I had rules, not strict. I'm talking about healthy rules that I'm not going to allow a sleepover of the opposite sex in the same room, same bed, same home. Say no more. When that happens, it causes confusion within teenagers. It causes confusion with children. One parent allows to have no rules. Another parent has rules. So guess what happens to the alienation? That other parent's a bad parent because they're putting too much rules on you. That's what caused me to become a therapist. I was led to believe that I'm a bad dad. And it can get to you if you don't have a filter to fix it. You know,
well,
I
want to reflect this back to our
sure.
listeners here, because you would only feel that you're a bad dad if you are hitting a nerve, a childhood nerve that you heard so many times that you were not doing it right, that you're not being right, that you're not doing enough, that it's your childhood wounds flaring up. Now asking to be healed, but you still didn't have the tools to step into that ownership
right.
of who you are outside of your mate's reflection of being a bad parent. So I want our listeners to understand here that we do co-create our reality. We can talk about this in another podcast. So if this happened to you, for you, this blob of parental alienation that caused so much pain, I invite you to feel somehow guided to heal that wound. It's a reflection of something that was asking to be healed. Was it right? Was it wrong? Very wrong. No human, in my eyes, my opinion, I'm owning this. This is not, you know, to the public scientific, it's just Kenya's opinion. My opinion is that no human needs to have the right to manipulate another. But again, the person that got manipulated, it's also being invited to stand up and own your voice, to stand up and say, oh my gosh, I will not be treated like a doormat. I will not be. So it's a call to rise up. It's a call from God, the universe's voice saying, ooh, if I don't own myself, I'm going to be just be pushed around.
You know,
so
it's
there
funny
is
you...
no, yeah, there is no victim here. Go back to podcast on day one of 2024. I want to acknowledge your pain. I see you, and I'm so sorry you went through that, Steve, and every one of our listeners. Now my question is, now what?
Right.
And please, Steve, this is my request as your co-host. Let's continue to talk about it. There's a lot of now what about legislation that I'm becoming aware of, every state, every country. But there's also a lot of internal tools about emotional intelligence. Now what about my children? Now what about my voice? Now what about my trauma? Is this amplifying the childhood trauma and explode into depression, anxiety for the rest of my days? Or is a call for healing?
Right. And the fact that, you know, when you're talking about these childhood wounds, that's what I had.
Yes.
And for me, it's that people pleaser that I had.
Yes.
Then I had to people. I didn't want to rock the boat. If I told my side of the story, I'm going to alienate them even further. these were some of the things that were told to me, some of the actions that were there. So when I was able to get custody, the manipulation continued to where the kids chose her over me. Well, how do you think as a father that kind of makes me feel when I know I want balance for my children? Yes, I yelled. I never spanked. I yelled and I did age-appropriate groundings. But I've also gone to my children and I said, you know what? I'm so sorry that I yelled. That was not becoming of me. I was upset about your actions, not you. And you know what? I'm going to, instead of punishing you for 4 days of taking something away, I'm going to back it down for a day and or two. And you kind of show me how well we can work together on this. And that's what I do with my kids, or I provide an instruction for them.
You know, Steve, I hear you speaking and I'm like, man, you there listening right now, if you're a parent, raise your hand if you have ever yelled to your children. I mean, I don't know any parent that hasn't.
Right.
Out of lack of self-control, out of frustration, or just out of making a point. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying that's human behavior. Are you going to be punished by being human? You know, there's a fine line between human behavior and being aware that you step outside of a line and abuse. I don't hear you being abusive. Does it make sense?
No, I hear you. I mean, yes, it makes sense. And I want to solidify this here when I go to the story for a second. And I appreciate everybody holding that safe space for me, because becoming a therapist helped me to heal.
There we go.
And being able to see who I am as a person, and to realize that I saw myself ineffective only because what was being told to me. And when you're wounded, you believe in these things, which causes more wounds. Okay.
When you are wounded, you're open. You're resonant, you're fragile. So your field is more malleable. It's easily imprinted. It's very different than being shielded and confident. And
right.
So this is why when kids are growing up between 0 to 3 and then 3 to 7, they're in this vulnerable state in their body and in their brains of absorbing everything. When we get wounded, when something strike a chord and that trauma comes up, boiling up, we are in that state. So be aware. This is why, listeners, words have power. Because in those moments is where I want to raise my hand, because it's still going to happen, Steve. We're not just telling a story. With every podcast, I want to make a point to give you tools, loving tools, to practice right now. Being your own therapist, being your own healer, being your own powerful self. Just like you have immune system, you have a spiritual system, one with God, to create that healing. And when you do feel that you need support, you raise your hand and I'll be there and Steve will be there and another person. But just know that you're not a victim of what happened to you. You're not. You are a choice.
That's funny when you say that, because as I was going through the alienation, I met up with a bunch of guys. That's where all this started, with the legislators and stuff. And I had to disassociate myself from some of these guys, because I know they're hurt, but they were going about things in a manner that I did not think that was lawfully.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I went a different route. And so when you're going through these things, you're not really thinking clearly sometimes. No. Okay.
We're all capable of evil.
Can we just
call the elephant in the room? When a wrong it is done and you feel emotionally raped, you want revenge. Your human wants to do teeth for teeth.
You know,
and if you ever had those thoughts, you're not alone. It doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you a human. that feels like justice is not done. So I need to take justice in my own hands. This wrong cannot continue. They have all those thoughts. I just want to invite, I felt all this energetics. Just notice that when you're speaking and you're thinking, you're actually welcome and in your field. So let me ask you this. When you're having those thoughts and you're allowing those thoughts to create this nest in your head, do you feel better or do you feel worst? Come on, it's a question.
Yeah, it's worse.
Worst. So is this revenge to the person that hurt you, or you're hurting yourself?
Just hurting myself further.
Exactly.
Because I'm believing in the lies that are there. And what makes it worse, and we only have about 4 or 5 minutes, but what makes it worse for the cause of parental alienation syndrome and is the fact that they taint the water by going to their girlfriend or going to a friend or going to a neighbor and disparaging that other partner. They're bad. They're bad. Yes. They're mistreating me.
So,
they're playing so, the victim.
So let me give some energetic tools here.
Sure.
Okay. Because energy goes where your intention is, where your
Correct.
Thoughts are, where your focus are, where your focus is. That's when you know what English is not my first language, but whatever. So when you're speaking destruction, you feel rage. When you speak peace, you feel grateful. Or the other way around, when you speak gratitude, you feel peace. When you speak life, you feel joy, you feel excited, you feel like some kind of a psychic or a prophet or somebody really spiritually connected. So just notice that you are the channel. In my work, you actually can redo the past. And we talked about that, Steve, because energy cannot be created or destroyed. So through sessions, if you really wanted to go back in the past and just really layer out the energy out of your body and recode your future, you can. But I would actually focus on your future. I will focus on the present moment and your future. If I'm speaking to anyone right now that doesn't have access to their kids and is still in this pain, that the consequence is still going on, it's not just a story of the past, it's very much present in their field right now. I want you to take prayer to a whole new level. You can call it prayer, you can call it meditation, you can call it visualization, imagination. Whatever it is the same thing. It's your capacity to connect that go above and beyond a phone call. Every single one of us have had this experience that you think about somebody and then the phone call, or she texts us or he texts us. So if you don't have that connection with your children, have it on the energetic field in a certainty tone. Let's call her Esther and John. So you just cover Esther. Oh, Esther, I'm just, I sending you to school right now, covering you with so much love and guiding, and just know that you're fully loved, you're fully connected. I'm sending you confidence and security. Know that I'm your father, I'm your mother, and I'm always here for you. And there's the truth cannot be held under a rock. The truth will always be there whenever you're ready to see. I'm here, and I'm not going to put you against your mother or your father. I just know that I love you and I care for you. And do the same thing with John. No one will ever stop to. It's, you see, it's a different prayer. It's just a twist. It's a prayer of certainty that I am connected with your children. Notice your language. What are you speaking out loud? I don't have connection with my children. She's a beep. He's a beep. Or I am so connected with my kids. And it's, you see, because nothing that is truth can be threatened. Nothing truth can be threatened. Your love for your children is there. And
so
you get to step
to
into that. Yeah.
Bring that to a close, Kenya. I hate to interrupt because our time is out. And this whole podcast is about what is the cause of parental alienation. We're going to pick up to a part 3 about the hope that there is there for the parental alienation syndrome, the hope that how I was able to find the hope in the parental alienation syndrome. And so until next time, take care and God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Coached Soul, where we aim to empower and uplift you on your journey towards personal growth and well-being. Remember, as you navigate through life, you don't have to do it alone. We encourage you to reach out to professionals, seek support from loved ones, and take the time to prioritize your own well-being. Stay tuned for future episodes filled with even more valuable insights and actionable tips. Remember, you have the power to thrive. And with Coach at Soul by your side, anything is possible. Until next time, take care, stay empowered, and keep shining your brightest light. For more information, contact Kenya at kenyacoachedsoul.com.